Welcome back, guys and girls, to another episode of the Chicly Powered Podcast, the podcast for vegan entrepreneurs who want to change the world and create a mass movement around what they believe in. I'm your host, Oliver Zurgis, and I'm super excited to bring to you today an episode dedicated to all you bloggers or all people that want to start a blog, because today we have Jasmine Briant, who's been a blogger since day one, way back when blogging was not cool. Now, she has a lot to share, not only from her story, but also the content that she's created and how she was able to gain visibility, credibility, and create this into a full-time career. Now, if you ever considered blogging or you're just starting out, even if you already have a blog for a year now, this is a great episode to tune back, create space for yourself, identify your position, how you can get started with your own blog if that's something that you want to, and overall, enjoy this amazing story. Without further ado, I want to present to you Jasmine Briant from Sweet Simple Vegan.
Of course, at the time, it was definitely one of the hardest parts of my life, and it's something I wouldn't want to go through again, but it was something I needed to go through to get where I am today and to grow into the person I am today. Like you said, I struggled with an eating disorder when I was 18, and I had just moved away to college. I was on my own for the first time, and it was just me trying to figure out who I am, what I wanted to do, and I guess how I just wanted to live my life. Initially, at that time, I was looking at life as all about me. I wanted to improve myself. I wanted to lose weight. I wanted to do all these things to benefit myself. But when I was introduced to veganism, I realized there was so much in the world that I could do to help. There was so much in the world that I needed to work towards helping. I saw that the animals were being mistreated. I saw that people were negatively affecting themselves with their nutrition. And I saw that the environment was being affected by just what we were choosing to put on our plates. And I kind of just shifted my perspective. And now it's not about me. It's about me working to make a change for the world.
Mm-hmm. And I do believe, where do you stand on that? I do believe that when you kind of zone in onto yourself and when your perspective kind of shifts inwards, though there is a time and place to do that, I do feel you enter a lot of emotional distortion where you do enter emotional eating. You do enter a lot of, you just like kind of drown in your own mind.
Yeah, definitely.
There's a better way of saying it. How exactly were you able to overcome that?
It was actually reaching out to others, and I started group therapy, and I started just hearing the stories of other women who were going through what I went through, and it kind of just put into perspective the effect it would have on my life in the long run. There were women that had struggled with it for 20 or 30 years, and I started to just see my life and see my future with my eating disorder, and I realized that I wasn't going to be able to do a lot of what I was striving for. I didn't want it to take over my life like it did for them. And so I don't know, just from there, I was inspired to make a change. And just from the support of my family and my friends, I was really able to open up. And it was the small gesture, the small act of just simply admitting my problem and sharing my story that really empowered me. And I felt so much better being able to admit what was happening. Again, like I said, I was living alone when I moved away for college, and I didn't talk to anyone about it. I was just relying on myself to get through things. And because I did that, it just kept getting worse. So reaching out to others and talking to other people who went through the same things is what just helped me heal and changed my life.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned reaching out to others and other people that have lived the same thing that you have. Do you remember any, like, a specific conversation or a specific role model that really had a specific impact on you?
There were just a few women that, like, in the group therapy that I was a part of, they were just talking about how their eating disorder had gone so far to affect their relationships with their children, their relationship with their husbands, and it wasn't a specific conversation. It was just everything as a whole. I just realized that it affected way more than just their lives. It started to affect the lives of others in their life. And I didn't want to do that to my family or friends.
Mm-hmm. And when did blogging come in?
Blogging came in actually when I went vegan. So I actually initially went vegan kind of as a part of my eating disorder. It was just a diet for me and I wanted to lose weight. And then I started learning more about veganism through social media. I started learning why people were vegan, and my approach towards veganism flipped, and it was for a completely different reason. And I was the only vegan I knew. I didn't even know any other vegetarians. And so my friends and family were always like, what are you eating? Are you just eating lettuce? Like, what's going on? And so I kind of just wanted to document what I was creating at home and introduce my friends and family to veganism. It was that's all it was, honestly, to start. I created an Instagram account and I just started taking photos of my food with my phone. And from there, I just started getting a lot of interest in my recipes. I started getting people asking me to archive them or to publish them on a blog. And so that inspired me to start a blog. And yeah, that's what I'm doing today.
And I definitely want to dive into like your ninja tricks on how you got started and like what distinguishes yourself, how you knew this was going to become a bigger thing. But I guess my first question, I guess... the blogging world, I'm not sure how it is right now, but I do remember a phase where everyone was starting to blog, to the moment where it kind of became saturated and you didn't know exactly who to listen to. And since you're still here today and you still have an amazing community online, I'm just wondering, how were you able to distinguish yourself from other bloggers?
Wow. I guess it's like kind of a hard question to answer, but I just really stayed true to like my initial goal, my mission, and really connected to my audience. I want to be the source that people can turn to when they are first going vegan, because I didn't really have that. I was just kind of like scrambling on the internet. And and another thing is I work on my blog now with my boyfriend, and we just want to make it like super down to earth. We want to be real, and we want people to realize like we're just living our normal lives. We're vegan and it's so easy to do. And I think that really appeals to people. We do a lot of recipes that are familiar to people, a lot of comfort recipes. We try to veganize things we grew up eating. And I feel like that really hits the nail with a lot of people. They don't need to use any crazy ingredients or powders or anything of that. Of course, superfoods are great, but we're trying to take a different approach towards veganism in our website.
Okay, cool. And I'd like to take a kind of very specific approach. I've never tried it, but maybe could you take us into kind of your process of creating new content? Because I think for anything you kind of do, which has a creative process, there comes a point where you hit a plateau, and you kind of see like, okay, there's not much more. I did all the bowls. I did all the masalas, the chilies, but like what's next, right? So what, if you could take us through your process in terms of creating?
It does vary from recipe to recipe. But I try to get inspiration from everywhere. I get inspiration from my childhood. I get inspiration from, of course, things that are trending online, or like seasonal recipes. I get inspiration from trips I take, different places I travel to. And I kind of feel like when you are trying to create recipes just for the sake of creating recipes, just for the sake of making recipes for others, that's when I felt I hit a plateau. That's how I started off as. But what I started to incorporate was recipes and flavors that I personally enjoyed, that I was having fun creating. And I don't know, from there, now I don't really have a problem creating recipes and sharing them with others. It kind of just flows. It took a while, but I don't know. That's the most I can contribute to that. I don't really know how to put it into words.
No, it's cool. And I guess it's super hard when you're taking the creative process, something that has some oftentimes nothing to do with your consciousness, and it's just like something that just comes out of you.
Yeah, totally.
I feel it's very hard to describe. Do you have, like, looking back, because you definitely are grounded in that space, you definitely have the credibility, you are very fluent in that space. Do you, like, looking back, is there anything you would have done differently that you could share to people that want to start blogging?
The number one thing I could suggest is don't try to do everything. I was looking at like bloggers A, B, and C and trying to do everything that they were doing, that I thought would make me successful. But, in reality, I needed to just focus on doing one thing, if that makes sense. Trying to cover all grounds at once is definitely not possible. So I would just say try the best at, or just do the best that you can do at one thing at first. And when you are able to add on more work or add on more outlets to post on, for example, like different social media outlets, then you can branch into those things. But again, don't try to do everything initially. It's definitely a slow process. And another thing is it's so much more work than people realize. Putting together recipes, shooting the photos, editing, and everything that goes into publishing a blog post and a recipe is definitely time consuming. So I feel like people should just take it slow in the beginning.
If you could take us even more specific, like what website do you use? How exactly do you go from A to Z from creating content? Do you have like a mind map for like the week, say, okay, Monday, I'm going to do this blog post, Tuesday, this one, and go from there? Or do you like just go spontaneously and just write and publish it whenever you feel?
I initially was doing it all spontaneously, and I realized I needed to create a calendar in order to just be efficient in my work. So what I did is I created an editorial calendar. So with that, I plan out all my recipes about a month in advance. So I write out what recipes I'm going to make, and then there's different days of the week that I create the recipes and test them, or shoot the recipes. Shoot the photos and shoot the videos because I do some videos for some recipes. Mm-hmm. So I would highly suggest that people plan out their weeks that way so that they aren't just scrambling and you're definitely more organized. You definitely get a lot more done doing that.
Okay, cool. And do you ever like hit a wall where you say like, I really don't want to feel like doing this recipe today?
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. And I sometimes have to because of the time constraints that I have. But another thing is if I can't get the work done and I feel like I'm just getting stressing myself out about it, I just add it on to another day of the week if I can. So I do that sometimes too, because sometimes it's impossible to do what I plan to do because the days don't always go as planned.
Yeah. Yeah. It's never goes as planned. Yeah. What do you do, say, when you're not blogging, when you're not making recipe videos? What are you doing during your downtime?
I really love photography, and I actually started branching out into lifestyle photography. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing shoots for a lot of friends and family, and we started getting some clients as well. And I feel like it's kind of the same thing, photography, food photography and lifestyle photography, but it's just what I love to do. So that's what I've been doing on my downtime.
Cool. Do you think you're going to attach that into what you're doing right now with the blog, or do you feel that's just going to take another tangent?
I really hope to. What we wanted to do on our website is create a portfolio for the other avenues of photography that we dive into, and then hopefully offer our services to clients that live in our area. That is definitely a plan in the future, but it's not something we've implemented yet.
I know you're a great cook, so if you could take us, like, what is your magic potion in the morning? What do you do to stay alive and feel glowing, if you get the question?
In the morning?
Yeah. Like, I know a lot of people like that are good at cooking have, like, their special shake in the morning, or they have, like, a special recipe that really makes them alive.
I don't know if my shake is that special, but I do make a shake in the morning.
Okay.
But it's really simple. It's just vegan chocolate protein powder that I like with some greens. Sun Warrior or Orgain. I really like those two brands. Cool. And then I just add some homemade almond milk. I guess that is like the special ingredient here. Homemade almond milk is so much better than store-bought. I highly recommend people try making nut milks at home.
I know.
And then I add in some frozen bananas and some fresh greens. And some chia seeds, and that's basically it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, great. I know for the almond milk, because I realized like they put canola oil or something like that. It's like, what? Why would you put?
Yes, like, some of them have very funky ingredients.
Right,
and it's right, barely any almonds. It's just water.
Yeah, legit. Do you have a recipe for almond milk on your blog?
Actually, not yet, but we are working on creating a guide for that for our website.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Guys, if you're down the road, if you're like 2 months in, go check out her blog. She's going to have one there.
Yes, definitely.
Definitely check it out. And just as like a firing round question, was there any purchase under $100 that you remember that really made a significant impact or change in your life?
In my life? Wow. Yeah. Under $100. Hold on, yeah. I have to think about it.
Or like around that. Like it could be a bit more. It could be something that people could like take action right now. And
in terms of vlogging or just
anything? In terms of anything, like a life hack.
I would suggest, I'm not sure if it's available yet anymore, but I had purchased a food photography, it was a food photography school online from Minimalist Baker, and that had a large impact on my blogging and my career and my hobbies. I'm not sure if it's still available. I know that they updated the course, so I don't know if it's under $100 anymore, but that was something that definitely had an impact on me.
Okay, well, cool. Yeah, I definitely think you need, I don't know how you stand on that, but I definitely feel you need to, especially where we are right now, you need to start investing into courses before you want to jump into anything seriously, like more than amateur, just because there's so definitely. Many other people coming into it.
Yeah, and I would highly suggest people start or try to learn from others who are already doing it. When I first started, I was like, I could figure this out. I could do it myself. I'm going to be unique, whatever. And it was a struggle. I had no idea what I was doing. I had created my blog from scratch, and there's definitely a lot of errors in the beginning. So I feel like people need to make use of all of the free and paid resources that are available nowadays regarding blogging and photography, because there's so many.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, and I think sometimes it's a bit like there's a bit too many out there. I know I'm a digital marketer. I run an agency, and I know like there's so many people coming out as the new guru saying, hey, buy my course. I'm going to show you how to make, $1 million, right? So it's super hard. I guess I'd like to ask you a question, like where do you get your inspiration from on a day-to-day basis? And how do you make sure that you mitigate distractions from all the noise out there?
Wow. Well, in terms of inspiration, one of my number one inspirations is Minimalist Baker. I'm pretty sure everyone knows that blog at this point. And then another one is Pinch of Yum. They are not a vegan blog, but they have really created an amazing website and business from their blogging careers. And it's just somewhere I strive to be in the future.
Okay, awesome. And what's the number one best way people can connect with you?
On Instagram. That is my number one, platform that I'm most active on.
And what's your handle?
Sweet Simple Vegan. Sorry, forgot to mention that.
Oh yeah, thank you for making it all the way to the end of this Chickpea Pirate Podcast. Remember, hold yourself accountable. If you did learn anything from this episode and you want to start applying them, write it down. Take 30 seconds after this episode to write down anything that you learned and how you're going to apply it to better your life and create that mass movement that you deserve. Now remember, if you do enjoy the content we put here on Chickpea Pirate, click the follow button so you don't miss another episode. I'm super excited to have this community. Already 500 active listeners. So great to be here. I'm blessed. Peace out. Enjoy your life. Create something big. Don't forget to do something that scares you every single day.